I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
And this is only what she might inherit from me, her dad. She's also a little black girl and will eventually be a black woman in a world that is more dangerous for her than it has been for me. Alicia and I have already begun to think about how we're going to teach her about race and racism and whiteness and white supremacy and racial profiling and police brutality and implicit bias. She will know what redlining and gerrymandering mean. She will be aware of gentrification and displacement and will know about what happened in East Liberty between 2000 and 2015 to provide an applicable and intimate context. She will be taught, as mom and dad taught me, about how the lynching of black Americans was once such a mundane function of her country's ecosystem that not only were postcards made depicting lynchings, but they were sold during other lynchings. She will know that 1839 is both the date of the Amistad slave revolt and the home address, 1839 Wiley Avenue, of Aunt Esther, the iconic matriarch in August Wilson's Gem of the Ocean. She will know that Ruby Bridges was. And she will be taught before she is a teen that four little black girls, not much older than her, were killed in 1963 when their church was bombed by a racist. And if she ever attempts to discount that sort of racial violence as something from the distant past, she will be reminded that 5 months before she was born, a terrifying 21-year-old white man sauntered into South Carolina church and executed 9 of its members moments after sitting and praying with them. She will also be exposed to Toni Morrison and Beyonce, to Bell Hooks and Black Panther, to Octavia Butler and Ava DuVernay, and Moonlight and Alex Haley and Chinua Achebe and Love Jones and Wu-Tang and Ruth Carter and Cara Walker and LaToya Ruby Frazier and both Smokies and D'Angelo's Cruising. Just as our house is and will continue to be a living and breathing pian to black culture, black art, black language, black history, black food, black joy, black love, and black people, her bedrooms will be museums of carefully curated blackness, brimming with black dolls and black figurines and books by black authors about black people with little black girls like her on the covers. Her hair is kinky and thick and nappy, and she will know that if someone ever says those things about her hair to her, the proper response will be, "Thank you." Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Monday, ready to do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Black Guy Who Tips, leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate all those. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. And that excerpt was from What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Blacker. That's Damon Young's book, talking about raising a dog, trying to raise a daughter.
Yep, trying to raise a baby.
And all the things that go into that and the things he wants to teach his daughter, you know, when she grows up. And I don't know, it makes me think about, I mean, it's so funny because, you know, I love being black. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I think it's the greatest thing ever. Mm-hmm. But it comes with this burden, this price, this thing, you know, and this responsibility as a black parent to raise your kid to know this shit, because you're putting them out into a world where if they don't know this, they're unprepared. But if you tell them this, they also kind of lose a little bit of the innocence every time they learn some of these terrible atrocities that have happened to us, you know?
Yeah, it's a catch 22, but you know, we don't have any children. My child would know these things. Like I understand as a parent it's your job to protect, but it's also as a parent it also is your job to protect it also with education, not protect also with safety. Yes, safety is the part, but you also need to educate them as far as these are the things that you should expect. Is it fair? Is it right? Is it just no? We're not, you know, no. Okay, no. Okay, we understand that point. But at the same time, the backside of you not emphasizing, not educating, not telling them is some of the shit we have now, where you have a lot of black people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and some of the stuff I don't know because it was emphasized in my house. So you end up like when people's watching Watchmen and they was talking about that stuff, people thought, oh, I never heard of that before. Yes, because we were not educated in that, you know, as a mass. We just wasn't, you know, unless you had a blackity black family that actually took the time to teach you, most black people get the same education that the white people get. And people have a tendency to forget that, particularly people that are born up in these households where this blackness is emphasized. Everybody doesn't have that knowledge. Everybody doesn't know that. And the disadvantage of that is that history repeats itself because you don't know the history. You don't know that some of the ideas and the things that you have, we have tried these things. These things have been done. You don't know that a slave didn't just sit there and take it. You know, people fought back, people revolted, people died. You know, you fuck up our side of town, we fuck up your side of town. That's not nothing new underneath the sun. But, you know, if you don't know, you can only go based off of the knowledge that you know.
Yeah, I think that's a, you know, that's a huge thing, the burden that you have as a parent to carry that on to your child. Because if not, we've seen what happens to these parents that think you can kind of wishfully think your child out of race, you know, like, well, I don't want to ruin my child by bringing this up too early or whatever. And I do understand those concerns. And there is a special like area where you want your kid to be able to be a kid. But it's hard when the rest of the world don't see your kid as a kid. No. And when we see the consequences of black people who don't know any history, like you see the things that they become, the things they say and do, where you're just like, this is a person that just does, you know, someone did not teach them about themselves, you know.
No. And truth be told, and even though I don't know everything and nobody knows everything, but for me, I had to learn how to have more compassion towards those people and have a better understanding. Because for a lot of people, who don't teach and show their children this, their children get a rude awakening, get smacked in the face with it. And they have reactions as adults that a lot of us had when we were children and a lot younger. So we've kind of progressed and worked our way through those emotions, and we've got, tactics and we've got techniques that we use, and you know, we know how to balance things. And you hit that shit as an adult, you liable to have a mental breakdown.
Yeah, the other reason I liked what he wrote was because he did something that you rarely see black men do, which is admit that his daughter would, the world is more dangerous for a black woman. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always like this caveat, or it's like we're giving up something to have to admit, like, you know, black men are endangered species. We definitely don't have it great. You definitely don't have it good. Mm-mm. You know, but I never feel like we're in this alone. You know, I always feel like at the end of the day, rightfully or wrongfully, I'm not trying to say that, quote unquote, we deserve or whatever. I know deserve had nothing to do with it, but people within the community have our back. We're never really truly all by ourselves, you know. Whereas I feel like black women a lot of times are alone.
Yeah, all we have is each other. And you know, people look at you crazy when you say that, but who is the number one supporter of anything that a black woman does? Another black woman. Who supports another black woman going to get her umpteenth degree? Black women. Who's the black woman that support black women whenever they start their own business? Us. Who's the ones that's pushing and encouraging and there for her and all that stuff? A lot of times it's us. Not that there's no men involved, but if you look around her circle, she's gonna have a lot more women around her than she will men.
Yeah, I think part of that being you know, just learn a lot of things that are learned and indoctrinated into when you're a male, you know, especially a cishet male, you know, you kind of, you learn misogyny, you learn to womanize, you learn to, you learn sexism, the same things that every man in every society learns, you know. But with our group, the oppression we experience, it feels like we should be in it together, but we're not always in it together. And, like you said, that doesn't, you know, this isn't a all these men is trash rant or whatever. I'm not, you know, I'm trying my best to avoid that kind of shit, because I think while it is salacious and it gets a lot of attention, I'm not here to hurt people's feelings or belittle folks, but right. The point being that there are a lot of men who drop the ball on this stuff, and because we also have learned and internalized a hatred of our own women, because we're internalizing the anti-blackness we're taught. We're internalizing the anti-woman. We're taught, we're internalizing homophobia, transphobia, all these things. This is not to say black women don't internalize, black women too,
yes,
internalize
do.
These things. There's misogynistic black women, there's mm-hmm. homophobic and transphobic black women. We see it all the time, you know. But the thing is, when somebody is on the line, like when it's an emergency, when it's you know, even when it's just like the community rallying for revenge or for attention, most of the time that's done in the name of a black dude, you know.
Yes.
Most of the time that's the unifying cause we all can agree on, is something happened to this black dude, and we are going to make sure that, you know, this moment is remembered, you know.
Correct. And even if a lot of times people quote unquote do things for a black woman, it's out of her connection to the black man as some form of property of ownership. He owned her, so since he owned her and I respect him, not that I respect her, I respect him, so since I respect him, I will do it on his behalf, not on hers.
Right. And so you know, it was just a pretty like that, like that's just something I don't see often, because I feel like us as black men feel like, I don't know, we're giving up something to say like, well, maybe we don't have it the worst, or you know what I'm saying, like maybe there are people that we contribute to what makes things fucked up for them, you know. And it's, and I think it's that infantilization, it's the, you know, it's how you can be like, you know what the problem with that woman is, you could tell she ain't had no father. And then we never go, where the fuck, wouldn't that be a man's fault? Like
not being right. We never ask those foundational questions,
right?
And because it's one of those things where if you start asking that, at some point it becomes accountability,
right?
And just in general, people don't want to be accountable for their actions.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to say, I am a part of the problem. I am a part of the reason why you're hurt. I am the part of your pain. Nobody wants to admit that, because everybody's so wrapped up and consumed in their own pain that they never realize that there are other people out there that are actually in more pain than you. I know people don't want to hear that, but it is the truth. A lot of times, no matter what you're going through, there's somebody out there going through something worse than you. And it's very hard to take your eyes off of your own situation and look at other people around you and realize, yes, and when you do that, it's not saying your situation isn't bad, it's not saying your situation isn't devastating, it's just said that you acknowledge there's other pain around you, and the acknowledgement is the problem.
Right. And acknowledging it somehow takes it away from you,
right?
Because you're no longer on the center of attention, you're no longer the focal point,
and people don't like that,
right? And I don't know why. To me personally, it doesn't feel good to be the focal point of that type of attention anyway. But I think some people it does feel good, and that's why they're always fighting over it. You know, who's the bigger victim? Who's the most oppressed at this moment? Who, you know, who isn't getting enough people saying their name? Who isn't getting enough retweets and likes and GoFundMe? And I think there's something, people covet that spot for some reason. I think maybe at this point, as black men, we've taken it for granted so much because our plight has been the quote unquote plight of blackness. Like,
yes,
whatever's happened to black men has before, so my whole life and longer than that, you know, the first people who wrote about the race of blackness were talking about the black man. Now they meant everybody within that race, but it's, you know, the placeholder has always been men, you know. However the men are doing is how the race is doing.
Right.
Even if it hasn't been true.
Correct. And it's also one of those things to where when somebody else, put it like this, when you have to share, it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you have 99%, you got to give up 1%, and people lose their minds. Black people can understand that about racism. For some reason, when it comes to sexism, they don't comprehend that. When it comes to LGBTQ, they don't comprehend that, because a lot of times these things you quote unquote giving up, they don't actually directly impact you. They actually impact the other person on a greater level. But because you have the illusion that you're giving something up, regardless if it's the reality or not, because a woman getting paid the same as a man, how is that going to take a goddamn dime out of that man's pocket?
Right.
It's not. You just have the illusion that how dare these bitches make more money than me, or as much money than me. I'm, you know, that's when that righteousness kind of kicks in, and that I'm better than kind of kicks in. Like there's something extra special about you that you deserve. Deserve has nothing to do with this. It's about fairness. It's about rightness, and it's about being just.
And I think also, like, that's where we get the, you know how Dave Chappelle made that analogy about the alphabet mafia, you know, the LGBTQ, and in the car, you got the T in the back, and outside the car, and the B is in the back, and they don't want to listen to these people, and they just barely let you in the car, and all this shit. That still happens within the race, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where once we start focusing on anything outside of just straight, black, like cishet men, once you stop focusing on that, then you get accused of being divisive.
Correct.
So if you say, like, women get treated this type of way, they have a specific type of oppression within the community, why are you being so divisive? Why are you bringing this shit up? Okay, well, gay people out dealing with this type of thing, you know, LGBTQ people dealing with this, why are you being divisive? It's like, because I contribute to that part, then now you're tearing the whole race down. But if you just only concentrate on me as a straight black dude, then we're together as a race.
Yeah,
you know?
It's one of those things where it's that trickle down economy type of right. Shit. You know, it's like, oh, it's all going to hit me, and then the runoff is going to run off on you. But then that's not equal, because I'm not getting the same water as you. I'm getting your leftover. I'm getting your residue. I'm getting the stuff that you no longer want nor desire. I'm getting the hand-me-downs. I don't want that. I want the same water you have.
Right. And it's like, I was just thinking about all this shit this morning, because, the same time that I think it was late last night I started seeing this, but there's this activist and I know she goes by Toyin, well, she went by Toyin, but it's like Oluwo Toyin Salu or something like that. So Salau.
I didn't know how to pronounce it. I seen it written out and I was like, I'm not even gonna try.
Yeah, well, I decided to try.
Thank you, because I didn't want to fuck it up.
Well, you can say Toyin. I mean, that's an easy one.
Now, I got that one, but the,
that's what people were calling her.
Okay.
Anyway, but she went missing, like, my brother's birthday, June 6th.
Aww.
And nobody had heard from her since. You know, she had tweeted some stuff about being sexually assaulted and not knowing what she was, and a black man that she had trusted because he was... supposedly he helps people that are homeless and stuff, and she was homeless at the time, and she's talked about him sexually assaulting her and then escaping, but then not knowing where she was, and she said for some reason she couldn't see, she didn't have her phone. I don't know, like, much about her other than I literally heard of this last night, you know. And considering, you know, her the fact that they kept showing the speech she gave where she was protesting and talking, you know, to the camera and all this stuff, and you know, it was a lot. You know what I mean? So like I was just reading this shit, and you know, that's where I'm like, it has to be a feeling alone, because the same people you trying to help, the same people you're in the street marching for, you know, one of those type of people could still see you as prey, could still see you, you know, could still want to victimize you. And I don't know specifically the details of everything. I'm sure more is coming out. I know they said they found two people's bodies and she was one of them. And then there was like an older white woman that's one of them. I don't know if they were killed by the same person. I've seen rumors and stuff, but I'm sure police will come out with more. But you know, it's like when you see that shit, when I see that shit, I can't help but think, like, what city, what building is burning for her? What system are we tearing down? You know, are we gonna call the police that we're abolishing and defunding? Are we gonna call we're gonna put the guy in the prisons that won't exist in our futuristic world? Like, what is the system that stops this violence from happening to her? You know what I mean? Like, I know there's no perfect solution or whatever, there's nothing we can do, but like, I don't know how you see this and you don't feel rage, you don't feel vindictive.
She was very young. I think 19. Yeah.
She was 19. I don't know how you see that shit and you like that. That's the part of me that maybe I have to work on. I don't think I'm ever gonna get rid of it completely though, where I don't think I'm ever gonna make it quite over to like the fairy tale land where I'm not feeling like I want a person like that punished that did something like that, you know. You know, I hope to one day maybe be able to to look at it and be bigger than that, you know what I mean? But I don't know how you don't feel it, you know. And that's probably because of the violence that we've learned through our existence in America that I can't imagine this world where these things don't happen, or they do happen and we figure a way to hug it out. I just can't, I don't think I can make the leap, you know. So I you know, that, like, I don't know, it bummed me out this morning just thinking about that shit, you know.
Yeah, like I said, and I've been kind of getting bits and pieces of it and things like this, and this goes back to something that we've kind of talked about before when it comes to people that are in activism and activists. People kill me when they don't think these people aren't supposed to make a living. Mm-hmm. You want them out there marching, you want their voices, you want them speaking, you want, you desire this, but then they don't have anywhere to stay. You know, you desire them to be in front of the media, you desire them to do all these things that require money, but yet they don't get the support that they need. A lot of them die penniless and brokeless, and broke, and can't support their children, can't support their families, can't support their loved ones. But yet somebody else dies in the street and you demand that they forego everything going on in their lives and be the forefront and step out here. And I know it has got to be devastating for other activists in the community, because, you know, a lot of times these spaces are big and small at the same time. And it's one of those things where you have other activists thinking, well, this could have been me. And this is my personal opinion. I think this is why a lot of them stop. A lot of them give it up and going back to work and be just like everybody else and be like, it is not worth it. Because the thing is, when it comes to blackness and fighting for blackness and being the forefront, you're dealing with all types of people, the peoples, and niggas want you to be everything to everybody, and that's just impossible. They want you to speak up at everything, they want you to march at everything, they want you to do everything, but you can't do that. And they expect you to do it for free, and they expect you not to complain, and they expect you to sit down and shut up and just deal with whatever they give you.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff that was happening. Supposedly she had abuse at home, so that's why she was homeless. And so, you know, and I don't know money situations. I don't know her mental health situation. Like, there's a lot of shit that we don't know. And I don't want to project too much in here. You know, it's like the same way I don't like when people project, like, oh, if someone would have reached out, this person wouldn't have killed themselves or something. Like, I don't actually know what the fuck would happen, to be honest with you.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I'm sure people will find out what kind of person this man was and what kind of shit he was up to. And maybe this is not so, maybe this motherfucker could kill 100 people. I don't know.
Correct.
You know, I just think about the way people respond to this shit, because I'll tell you what it reminds me of too. I know this is a long tangent and shit, but it kind of reminds me of why you can't just simply dismiss out of hand the people that want Dave Chappelle to say, to speak about like a trans person or a black woman who's killed by the police as well. It's why you can't really dismiss it, because that pain is valid. Like, you, that's a critique you just need to sit in. You don't know. It doesn't mean he's going to be on your side. Doesn't mean he's going to change. I think at this point we have much more evidence to say he's never going to change, and he's probably never going to be on your side. But it's like people don't want anyone to be hurt by it. They don't even want them to have to acknowledge it. To, it's like, it's an insult that they would even be like, well, this is important that you are leaving this out, you know? And I think that's what it reminds me of, is like, this is why, this is where that pain goes. It's like, you almost want mob role in this to be forgotten. you want my struggle in this to be like, if we focus on my struggle, that's for me. But when I'm talking about us, I'm talking about you, me, everybody, you know. And I think that's how a lot of people feel, where it's like, it's not simply that Chappelle did it, but the defense of like, well, why would he say that? You know, George Floyd, the one that did this, is like, well, he also mentioned Christopher Dorner. He also, you know, he also mentioned Philando Castile. He also mentioned, I forget his name now because it's so fucking many, man, but the dude who died in Walmart. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a through line in his mind. And this is not to put all this shit to feet of Dave Chappelle. My point is the fact that we couldn't even, like,
that said John Crawford.
John Crawford. Okay. The fact that he can't even, like, that you can't even discuss it.
Yeah.
The fact that anyone who brings it up is branded basically the enemy, and they hate black people. They hate black men. They hate, you know.
Social media has drawn these right. lines.
And I do get it. Like, some of these motherfuckers, they need the content. That's why they do these things. I'm not stupid. Like, clearly, if you write for an outlet that Dave Chappelle didn't do blankety blank blank, yeah, you're getting paid off of him saying some stupid shit or saying his special, and this is your angle for getting paid. It's not, you know, but there's this like subservience that is expected from the entire fucking black community whenever, you know, a black dude speaks, you know, who's like, fall in line, shut the fuck up, you know. So I don't know, it just kind of made me think about all that shit at the same time, where it's like, well, this is a danger too, and no, it's not the police, it's coming from the calls coming from within the house. And rather than to sit in that, because it doesn't feel good to sit in it, but to sit in that and be like, mm-hmm. you know, what is to be done, or to even acknowledge that it is happening, it makes certain people so uncomfortable that they just avoid the whole fucking thing. You can't even, you know, like, even bringing it up is somehow a slight to black men or whatever. And I do understand some people are gonna get their, you know, gripes off at all the shit that they've hated about black men forever, and this is another chance to like kind of dunk on black men and be like, y'all ain't shit, you ain't never gonna be shit, blah blah, you know, like it's a that, but that's that emotion and that anger coming out, you know. It's the same way we feel when we be like, white people did this, white people did that. I don't expect every white person to start being offended by the shit, but mm-mm. you know, I don't expect them to come clear their specific name. I'm not looking for them to reach out to me, you know, or whatever. And I feel kind of similarly with this, like, this is not the time to like clear your name and, you know, I would have did this. Like, it's just acknowledge that this shit is happening, and that, you know, this is a plight that is not, it is not the same as ours. It's different. And to me, it makes the world more dangerous. And I don't know why that is such a revolutionary idea for straight black men to have to say, or cishead black men, you know, I don't know why that's such a betrayal of the straight black male race to be like, yeah, man, black women have it harder, black LGBTQ people have it harder, black trans women have it much harder. Like, I don't know why that's so hard to say, but in days like today, it feels like, how can you not acknowledge it, you know?
Yeah, I think for some people, we are, I don't know if we're in an age, people, you know, people are always going to be people, but we're in an age now where people do not like to sit in their emotions and be uncomfortable. They just don't like it. People respond bad to feelings. If it, you know, unless it's happy. If it's sad, people respond bad. If it's, you know, anger, they respond bad. Uncomfortableness, anxiety, people just, a lot of people just respond bad to anything. And it's not even responding bad. It's, how dare you make me feel something? And the right. second I feel something that's outside of happiness or feels good, I just get this something inside of me that raises up, that fights against it. Because if I actually look at it, and if I actually use critical thinking skills, and if I actually analyze it, I actually might be overreacting, but nobody can say that they're overreacting. Nobody can say, you know what, let me sit in this, let me think about this, let me mull over this. Because we live in a world now where your answers and everything you do and say has to be instant, you can't sit and think and analyze things. You can't actually mull over it, where you can actually come up with your own conclusion. You know, now the world is full of hot takes, but hot takes can burn you and be wrong. You know, sometimes it's okay to let your meal get cold and sit there and look at it for a while and figure and kind of figure it out. But you know, we don't live in a society right now that allows for that.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of people just giving their first thoughts off the top of their head on a lot of controversial shit all the time, and I think it definitely does turn into a feeding frenzy. Like, you're gonna have the black dudes that are the example of all the fucked up things that people say, and they're gonna be talking. And you know, one of the things I realized too is so much of it is just emoting, and it's not really productive in any way, because the kind of dudes that are saying the ignorant shit online don't give a fuck.
Right, they don't care.
And there's no one that can talk to them out of, like, there's no man that can say it and then they'll get it. There's no woman that can say it and they'll get it. They don't want to get it. It's like talking to, I think it's our desire for black unity that makes us feel like maybe we can reach them. They are black, of course. It's like, not everybody that's black want to be reached.
No,
you know, and some of these motherfuckers really just like, I'm a rapist, I'm okay with that. I don't give a fuck about our women, I'm okay with that. And you know, and fuck you, and if I get killed in the streets by the cops, y'all better still march, because I expect it, you know.
Right. And the thing is, and I've said this before, but if black women decide, you know what, we're tired and we're not supporting and we're not marching and we're not going out there no more, a lot of the Black Lives Movement, all this, it'll be over. It would completely stop. I don't think people fail to realize that. If black women didn't love black people as much as they do, a lot of the shit that moves forward, you know, because a lot of the things in history, even some of your favorite MLK and all these other people, it was black people behind, black women behind the scenes,
right,
that were actually putting shit together, organizing, speaking, and wasn't even allowed to go on the stage, right. You know, if you know, but see, when you say this stuff, you quote unquote taken away from the black man. No, I'm acknowledging the fact that they took credit for work that black women had a hand in, and a lot of times they spoke the words that black women wrote, because society in general would not accept a black woman saying these things, right. So the black man had to go quote unquote forward and be the face of it, even though it might not have been his ideas, it might not have sprouted from him and came up from him. And the thing is, a lot of times when it comes down to it, it becomes very frustrating, because you know, now we live in an age, no, women are not free, but you know, women are actually allowed to be the face and be the forefront and speak up and talk about these things that directly impact them. And a lot of men are hearing a lot of these complaints for the first time. These complaints have always been there, they got them, ignored them,
right.
But they're in their face all day, every day, like they're actually talking about the shit that impacts them, just like white people are responding bad to the shit that we say about them, about the fucked up shit that they do. You see how they respond. So when women are like, hey, particularly black women, like, hey dog, this shit impacts me, instead of you listening and being understanding and being like, well, that's not me, I'm just gonna let people, you know, just let you cook, you know, you have to come out and say something. And that's the problem. Even if you feel justified in coming out and saying something, it's a time and it's a place for that. And when people are mad and angry and they want to voice their opinion, sometimes that's not the place for you to be like, but
that's the thing. The internal monologue of everyone is on display now.
Correct.
Because we have social media. It's the closest thing to being psychic. People, because of those hot takes you were talking about, people see what people think right away. And, you know, I think there was an outpouring of just grief this morning and last night. You know, I know her name was trending. And it's like that thing where sometimes my first hearing of somebody is this: they died, they were killed, you know. Like, I didn't even get to hear about her activism. She's 19. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think also, you know, there's social media aspects to it, you know, people that are kind of looking for a mascot, people that are identifying with certain things, people that see a hot topic. So, hey, I'm gonna be a contrarian. I'm gonna say the fucked up thing. You know, there's all those things happening because social media is part of the process, unfortunately. Right. But you're right, though. Like, I think it's funny because a lot of men have women in their lives, but they don't know women. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? We're like, mm-mm. You might have a sister, you might have a friend, you might have a coworker, but you might not. You don't, the same way that you can work with a white person at your job and they don't know you.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of women, you don't know them.
No.
You're associates. You,
right.
You know, if you're basically, if your whole thing is, I'm essentially trying to fuck pretty much any woman that comes across my path, or there's got to be a sexual element to all, you know, everything, you definitely don't know all these women, because right. They're not, like, I'm not telling you shit. Like, I know you're not to be trusted. And I don't mean that's on some sexual assault rapey shit. I just mean literally, I'm never sharing my fullness with you, because, you know, there's a certain way you're gonna view me or want to view me, and women can pick up on that the same way we can pick up on white people's intentions. It's right. They have to navigate our oppression, so they already know it. So a lot of times these men literally have never fucking thought about women that go, I love black men, I'm scared of black men.
Right.
You know, I remember when they were talking about catcalling a couple years ago on social media, and so many men were just like fucking shocked. You know, like, oh, what? Oh, so you think, so if I say smile, you feel scared? It's like, yes.
I don't know you.
Right. And there's a lot of like data to back this up. There's all kinds of anecdotal stories of threats and intimidation and verbal assault and physical assault and all this, the sexual assault, all this shit that comes from the thing. So why can't you just say no? Or why can't you just smile? And it's like, oh, this is the first time a lot of these dudes are even hearing what has happened, what the inner monologue of a woman. And I think now we have these moments like today where a whole lot of black women's inner monologue came out to be like, this is bullshit. I'm marching for you. I'm protesting for you. I'm hashtagging. I'm making the fucking case for you, including the rest of us, okay? Not you alone, but I'm making the case for George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. You know, I'm going to talk about Ayanna Dior, even though she's not killed by the cops. She was beaten and assaulted by a bunch of black people. You know, like, there's like this intersectionality that is happening. And then when it's like a slap in the face, almost, when you see something like this. And it's sad and shameful that we as straight black dudes can't relate to that, because literally we've been fucking mad for 2 or 3 weeks over George Floyd. So you know what it feels like, right? Not, and this is not belittling George Floyd, but he's one person. That's one person. And look at how much people have mobilized behind that one person, right? Now, obviously, part of the mobilization is that it's a lot of people and it represents a lot. Mm-hmm. But that one person is the one that a lot of people are like, this is the shit that got to me. I watched this man die. This is fucking horrible. And then when you get to something like this, it's kind of like, well, what's the big deal? Why y'all talking about all black people? What? We've been talking about all cops. We've been talking about all white people. You know what I mean? We're talking about systemic oppression through state apparatuses, through personal apparatuses, through white supremacy, all this shit. And then you get to something like this, and it's like, what does that got to do with me?
Right. And that's the thing. What does it have to do with me? And this is how you can have men say with a straight face and truly mean, I don't know a woman that's actually been sexually assaulted. And I was like, well, then you don't know women. Like, you've never talked to your mama, your sister, your cousin. When they say that, I be looking like, you a goddamn lie. You've never asked. That's what that is. And not only have you never asked, they never felt comfortable telling you. That's what it is. Because like you say, women can pick up on men. We can pick up on the hoteps. We can pick up on the ain't shit niggas. We can pick up on the niggas judging us, calling us hoes and bitches and sluts. We can pick up on that. Men act like they just live in these bubbles and walk around and women just don't see them, you know, because a lot of times our lives is in your hands. You fuck around and get angry. Next thing I know, you done choked me to death.
Right.
You done shot me. You done stabbed me in the middle of the street. People don't, why don't you say no? There's so many articles that came out. I said no, I get stabbed. Why'd she give me the wrong phone number? I better give you something, bitch, because if I don't give you anything, I might not make it home. You know, this is why women have like 2 and 3 numbers. This is why they have like a Google number that they have forwarded to their phones, because they give somebody their number, they'll turn around and call it immediately to be right. Sure you have the same number. So you make sure that number is forwarded to your telephone, so when they try to contact you, they can contact you, and then you block the number. You know, and you know, men don't understand why women have to use these techniques. It's the same way you go to work every day and use techniques against white people. You know what to say, how to say it, how to behave, how to act, whatever you need to do to get you through the day. Women do the same thing every day, but they do it towards you, and all of a sudden you are shocked and offended and appalled that people feel that way about you.
Yes. You know, I didn't read it on the show, but recently we had someone who emailed us to be like, you know, what about black on black crime? I mean, all these people marching down the street for George Floyd, and you know, what about black LGBTQ people, and you know, why doesn't anyone care about that and all this stuff? And this morning I think a lot of black people are floating like this, where you're trying to like, it's almost like you go from either being like, this shit is happening all the time, you can't get out of it, or it's not happening, I'm just going to concentrate on everything else. You know, it like, today I'm just watching Looney Tunes or whatever, you know, and I think a lot of black people have been floating like that. But like, of all the shit that's been happening, police killing people, all this shit, this is the one that really just fucked me up. You know, I couldn't even leave the bed this morning. And that's not a cop that did that. That's us. You know, and I know he's just one dude, but the reaction, the nonchalant, like, I'm gonna just throw this shit, I'm just gonna pretend this didn't happen, or I'm just gonna say she should have been this or whatever. That's us. That's coming from within the house. You know, that's the thing. Black people are the only people that care about this.
Nobody cares.
No one's coming to save us from this type of shit. It's literally up to us. So, I think it gets to me, you know? I still remember Hedaya Pendleton, I believe was her name, dying in Chicago. And she just got shot by like a stray bullet between some niggas shooting, like, that kind of shit. That bothers me too. You know what I mean? So it's not just as simple as,
yeah, it all bothers
we only
you.
Care when the cops is fucking with us, or, you know, why don't the cops just leave us alone and then we can go back to fucking up the neighborhood? Like, it's all this shit is connected, you know, and I don't know how you can care about, I mean, I do know how, you know, I do know how, like, people, the buzzword now is being empathetic, being an empath, right? And I'm a natural empath.
Some people pretend, yes.
It's not, I learned this word and then I fucking said it all the time because it made
who
me.
You are.
I felt this way my whole life. I have not been able to put words to it until I learned, like, oh, this is what this is? And so when you're a natural empath, the difference is, between like a lot of performative empathy, which is just like, I'm gonna tell the world, I'm gonna make the case for this person. A lot of people are performative empaths, and I'm not saying that in the mean pejorative way of performative. I'm saying performative where, like, you wanna let the world know the case to be made for somebody most of the time, if they remind you of yourself.
Right.
I don't know the percentages, but if I had to anecdotally guess, I would say the high, somewhere 80 something 90 something percent of most people who claim to be empaths are not innately empathic. They are mostly identify with people that have some shit happen to them that are like them. So
it's more of compassion.
That's why you see, you're like, for example, black women will mostly feel really bad about Chrisette Michele, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because she reminds you of you on some level. You're either a fan of hers or she's just another black woman, and you know, you would never do those things, but you feel bad that she had to pay a cost for that thing. And so it reminds you of yourself. And so you go, I'm an empath, Chrisette Michele, right? But that's not necessarily the same. A black man, they'll say they feel bad for somebody like, what the fuck is that dude's name? Nate Parker. They'll say they feel bad for Nate. He got canceled, man. You know, he beat that case or whatever. But what they really saying is, that's another straight black dude. Right? And this kind of happens a lot within our, within the structure of how people are mourning these deaths and getting in the streets and all that stuff too. People are more readily and easily able to, support and be empathetic on these rankings, right? These scales, right? Because we've all been trained. So like, it's easier for a black woman to have empathy for a black man because, hey, I've been fucking, like, taught to do that since I was a fucking kid. I've been taught to be a support system since I was a child. Everything is, we're gonna get you an easy bake oven, we're gonna fucking, you know, we're gonna teach you to shrink yourself, and you're not gonna, you know, so the ability to have that empathy or whatever is kind of like forced upon you, right? That's not really empathy. You're basically being fucking programmed to do that. This is a function we as a society want you to do, to uphold the race. You as black women, black men, not so much. We you know, you are upholding the race by just being excellent, by just being yourself. That is upholding the race. And forget the people upholding you, that, you know, that's not for you to do, right? Anyway, so a lot of cases, black men, you know, when like a straight black dude gets killed, it's easy to be like, yeah, we as all black men immediately have empathy for him, right? This is why Chappelle's special is so centered on that, without him trying to make it centered on that. That's how his brain works. He don't think about other people within the spectrum of blackness, because he, and most black men will not only defend it, they identify with it, because that is how most people are. Right. I identify with the people that remind me of me. What reminds me of me is straight blackness, straight black maleness, cishead black maleness. That reminds me of me, so I can march for that dude. I can be upset for that dude. Breonna Taylor doesn't remind them of them, right? Breonna Taylor reminds them maybe of her boyfriend who shot back at the police. They could maybe identify with him, but right. Breonna Taylor is the main victim of that. So you're going to see like the trickle down effect. You won't see as much support for her. And I think what you will see is a lot more black women have support from someone like that, because it reminds you of you. You know what I mean? Like, this could have been me sleeping in my bed. I love naps. I could be dead. No knock warrant could take me the fuck out.
Come
right
on.
So there's that thing where there's that type of empathy, and it goes for every class of person, every right. marginalized identity. It's why you'll see trans people trying to elevate trans names. Hey, what about this person? What about this cause? Okay, I identify with that. Now, what I'm saying is, as a true empath, what fucks me up is that I kind of have that for everybody. Sometimes people I shouldn't even fucking have it for.
Right.
You know?
Because that's what you do. It's in you. So
yeah, if I could turn it off, I really would. There are some days where I know I can come off like a contrarian, but I'm not trying to be. My fucking brain is like, well, maybe this white woman had some traumatic things happen to her, and that's why she said this thing in the elevator to this black man, which appears to be very, very racist, but maybe she really just was scared that she would be sexually assaulted. I don't know. Maybe in my brain, you know, I'm going through all this right. shit, right? And I try to funnel it out and all this shit. But it never really turns off for anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I can turn it down, turn the volume down, but it never really completely fucking goes away. Like, murderers, all kinds of people. Like, I have to actively, like, try to hate that kind of person to be like, fuck that person. You know what I mean? So, I think that's what happens in a lot of these cases, is that people have this performative empathy and it's telling the truth on people. They're not empaths. Mm-mm. Because when the person isn't in their demographic, they don't give as much of a fuck.
Yep. And they can easily kick people to the side.
It's so obvious. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's mm-hmm. so obvious that it's like, oh, that person is trans. I don't have to give a fuck.
Come on.
You know, in my heart of hearts right now, and I hope the world is changing and I'm just missing it and I'm just being too pessimistic, but in my heart of hearts now, when I watch these fucking marches right now, like, they had a great one in Brooklyn for Black Trans Lives, mm-hmm. and I was like, look at all those people. That, wow. But then I also was like, these niggas are just tired of being stuck in the house. When the fuck have people ever been this empathetic where they really do give a fuck? Because when the shit hits the fan, they not gonna be there.
Mm-mm. When the world open back up, they gonna be
there. Yes, this is pussy hat marches, but for black causes right now. You know, like, when is the work gonna be there? When are you gonna be advocating for this shit on a Tuesday? You know, when are you gonna be, you know, caring about these causes on days that there is no march? You know, like, that kind of shit, I don't know. This is probably way too pessimistic for the show, but it feels so fucking phony.
You know
what I mean? Like, it feels so fake at this moment right now.
It does, and that's why I'm glad everybody's here. I hope everybody stays, but the reality is they're not. Because as soon as they could go back to doing the normal ass shit that they was doing before to keep themselves distracted from all the bullshit in life, the average person will go back and not care.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I can look back and be like, man, that was a time that really changed the world. But I just feel like, that's why I keep feeling like, push for everything you want right now.
Everything.
I don't even care if it's unrealistic. I don't care if it sounds crazy. Just fucking get it. Get it now, because the way people work, this goodwill will run out.
It will.
This giving up space of people in majority groups is going to run out very quickly.
Yes.
And we're going to be back to everyone on their own, everyone for themselves. And no, I don't remember any of these people's names or what. Not even that. Actually, I hate the whole, like, say this person's name shit, because one, they already dead. And then two, it makes it easy to perform like you care. There's so many people that, like, I don't know if they have a note. They can have a notes app and just be like, I'm saying the names. And it's like, but you didn't do shit. It's the Black Lives Matter press release that all these companies are doing. They don't, like, you think I really believe that you give a fuck, or you just don't want nobody on your ass today.
Right.
But like, you know, if you give a fuck, then let me see the brass and your company change. Let me see the employee statistics change. Let me ask the employees that work for you that are marginalized what their work experience is like. Like, that's how you get real change. Ain't nobody interested in that. Everyone's interested in the photo op shit right now. You know, everyone's interested in looking the part. You know, we talk this shit every day on this show. You know, like, you ain't gotta fuck with us, that's cool, but this is not a very special episode. We'll be talking about these same issues tomorrow and the day after that and all this other shit.
Okay, we've been doing this a very long time,
and I don't ask
about a lot of
yeah, and we don't ask that everyone agree with us. We don't force nobody to fucking, you know, we still understand, like, that's another thing that people are doing is like, you know, and I think this is just a gut reaction to when tragedy happens. Well, y'all have people around you that's da da da. Nigga, you're supposed to be prison abolitionists. You're supposed to be reformists. You're supposed to be people that want to see folks get a second chance and all this type of shit. Castigating them out of the community is no fucking different than putting them in that prison. So the idea that everybody ain't as woke as you or up on all the shit that you on right away, so they gotta go, and y'all keep people around that don't know. Well, how the fuck they supposed to know? This is how you learn. You know, I can see if it's some, you know, unrepentant, you know, whatever, but if you truly believe at the end of the day that these people can be redeemed, or that the goal of society is to push people into some sort of understanding and enlightenment, then you can't just be giving up on everybody. You know, that's why the fuck I don't be promoting that shit, because I give up on people sometimes. You know, like it's like for me, I was like, well, this nigga just needs prison and I'm out. But for some people, you can't be about that life. I saw a clip of Angela Davis getting shared around, and she was talking about how even with the police officers who killed George Floyd, she don't want them to go to prison. And this person was like, what the fuck? Angela Davis? I'm like, Angela Davis' whole thing is prison abolition.
And she
really, don't want no one to go to prison.
She means it.
A lot of people, this is the joke that I be making on the show, and this is why, you know, you shouldn't explain your humor, but I am right now, but this is why I make that joke. And when I say a lot of people that say quote unquote prison abolitionists, they not real. It's a hashtag to them, but they fail the real life quiz of, well, you know what that means, right? That means the people that killed George Floyd don't go to jail.
Right.
You know, that means there's some type of community board that decides some non-punitive recidivate, like some way for him to pay back society for what he did, some sort of restitution. Are you really down with that?
I know I'm not, and I don't know if I ever will be. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, I'm not with that. Me
yeah.
personally.
Yeah, I didn't really, I meant that as a general question, but yeah, sure. Like, a lot of people, it's easy to talk that game. Easy to talk that game, but.
And I'm glad that there are people out there like that. Don't get me wrong, because you need a balance.
Right.
But I know me, for certain things, I'm like, no, you need to be separated from society.
Right. And, you know, so it's what do you really mean it? What that means is that cops maybe get fired. Or maybe we don't have an actual police force that's, you know, with guns and shit, it's something else. That means that murderers don't go to prison. That means that no one gets the death penalty ever for anything. If they go and kill 9 black people in a church, they, no matter how angry our community feels about that, there's a limit to what can happen to them, and we have, there's a societal agreement for that. You know, like, people are pushing stuff now, and this, so once again getting kind of deep, but a lot of people pushing for these things don't really believe them. Mm-mm. They feel this way because the people getting under the boot look like them and remind them of them. So that, once again, that performative selective empathy is really about black people having experienced this shit, and we don't want to experience it anymore. So we're like, fuck the whole system. But if we really come down to it, and someone said, well, okay, what about this? Don't fuck the whole system, but we promise it'll work right. A lot of people would immediately hop on that.
Yes.
And that's, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong, I'm just saying the facts. This is my belief system, is that there's a lot more people that would be like, well, if you could get it to work for everyone the same way,
that's all
I would just hop on that.
That's all I, for me, not trying to funny, that is all I ask. And then once we get there, then we could do your pie in the sky and hope and dreaming about these other things. But it has to be a slow progress. I just want you to protect and serve me like you do everybody else.
Yeah, but if people get that, they'll never give it up. You know what I mean? If black people got that, we would never move on to something better. You know, which is why I say, ask for everything now. They yeah. might fucking give it to you. Some of these local governments is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Minneapolis and shit, Denver,
yeah,
like
passing laws.
Some of these places is doing it. Baltimore just defunded their police department, supposedly. We'll see what the details of that are.
Right.
Because once again, it defund means different things to different people, and there's no fucking blueprint, and there's a lot of abolition tied to defund and defund tied to abolition, and there's a lot of confusion online. But, you know, hopefully local activists and shit are working that out with their local municipalities and getting that picture for everybody, and then we're gonna see what happens. Like, what happens when police say, hey, we won't be coming to this part of town no more? The community say they got it, you know?
And the question is this: will everybody in the community agree? Because if y'all do this and I live in the community and I go, motherfucker, I want the police, it's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the way I look at it, you know, and it's one of those things where you have to put it like this. Not that it's impossible, but you have to be willing to work with people, and everybody ain't down with no police.
Well, that's a valid concern, I think, what do you do if you live in the community and you do go, but sometimes I would like to be able to call the police for certain situations. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have the answers, but that's the thing they're working on. Maybe they'll come up with the answers. Maybe it won't work. I don't know. You know what I mean? Human nature is fucking volatile. It's not, you know, I don't know that there's any place on earth that has, you know, has it all figured out. You know, no. Somebody's always getting fucked over by somebody, and then what do we call justice and how do you fix that? You know, that's going to always be the thing. The impulse is inside everybody, you know? So anyway, that's a very long tangent, a very long intro, but,
butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere, friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything, take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow,
a reading rainbow. Ooh, that was a long intro. But you know what I needed to talk about?
We be talking.
Mm-hmm. I had to talk about it. I've been saving that up all day. All right, let's get into the news. What should we start? I guess we can do the coronavirus segment. I want to do that today. Let me see, there's other things to talk about. You know, let's just skip coronavirus, we'll save it for tomorrow. I think Three Guys On is coming on.
Okay, we can do coronavirus with them.
They'll love to hear a new coronavirus bop.
Yes,
let's just talk about some news, guys. Just regular ass terrible news. All right, do you know who B. Simone is?
Mm-mm.
Me neither.
Okay.
All right.
You know, I don't know too much of nobody.
Apparently, she's a cast member on Wildin' Out, the sketch comedy show.
Yes.
And she's growing her brand. And she's like one of those people that really talks a lot about like hustling and rise and grind, you know, that type of thing. And she's tried to move into beauty and self-help almost type thing. So she has a beauty business and she published a book. But the book is starting to come under some heat. Okay. Now I will admit, when I first heard of this woman was only like a week or so ago. And it was when, she made a tweet or something about not wanting to date dudes that had 9-to-5s. She needs, like a baller, a man with a whole lot of money or something, whatever. And as always, this is why I be like, Twitter, the social media, none of these motherfuckers ever passed the test that they claim they make. Because technically, there's not a fucking thing wrong with her saying that.
No.
Technically, that's just her setting the standard. Who gives a fuck? You're not dating her. So she don't want to date motherfuckers with 9-to-5s. You took offense to the shit. Who gives a fuck? Doesn't matter if your 9-to-5 is how you buy her makeup or whatever the fuck. She's talking about her dating style, right? Now, from my understanding, she just supposedly is annoying, and it's like, if it ain't one thing, it's always another. So maybe this was a culmination of like, oh, today's the day that we don't fuck with her no more.
Right.
Whatever.
I don't know because I don't follow her.
Yeah, but the shit was trending. I don't follow her either. It was trending. Like, everyone was like, this motherfucker right here. You know, like, it was crazy.
Today's the day they had enough.
Yeah, it was bad on the streets, okay, on the tweets.
I'm over here like Kiki Palmer.
Yeah. And so then she did an interview in Forbes, and they have a YouTube channel called Road to Millions, which chronicled her path to her first million. And in the interview, she described how she created her cosmetic line, her comedy career, music, and her book. And at the time, she had sold 45,000 copies of Baby Girl Manifest the Life You Want, which is her book.
Okay.
Current hard copies are not available for purchasing on her beauty website, but a Kindle version is still listed on Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, actually, I can share some of the pictures with y'all from the interview and stuff. And so it was like, you know, a pretty big deal that for her. This is hopefully it's showing up, but this is the article. She shared it on her Twitter. Is it showing up? No.
It's slowly moving. Okay. Yes, I see her.
Entrepreneur, best-selling author, B. Simone, how to make your first million, your creative talents. Surround yourself with a team of people, see your vision, help you execute, you know, that type of, you know, all the mm-hmm. hustle stuff. And then it shows this month her total in sales is over $1 million. She took a screenshot from her phone and she wrote, "Took me 30 years to see my first million in my account. Took me 30 days to see my second. Wow, thank you Forbes for the write-up. Guy is amazing." So, you know, hey, black girl magic.
Mm-hmm.
According to some tweets, she is stealing her work, plagiarizing some bloggers.
Oh no.
The Visionpreneur, the Morning Buzz, and the Happiness Planner, white women, are accusing her of stealing from them. And saying that she took the work that they were doing and just directly fucking copied it. So like, this is 50 questions to find your best self is what this woman had on her website, and then people took pictures from the book Questions to Find Your Best Self, and it's the same order and everything.
Oh no.
Yeah. Question number one, what do I love about my life? On this page, question number one, what do I love about my life? Question number two, what do I feel like my life is missing and how can I get more of what I need? Question number two, what do I feel like my life is missing and how can I get more of what I need?
What? In the age of the internet?
In the age of the goddamn internet.
Well, you can literally drop something in Google and Google be like, yeah, I know where that came from.
Yep. So it is not looking good for your girl. One of the bloggers, the Happiness Planner, wrote, "We just bought their book and found at least 3 pages so far that are exact copies of our printables, even the font. I mean, they could have at least modified them a bit, but no."
Wow.
Yeah. Now, it was kind of an interesting conundrum for me, because obviously this seems to be pretty fucked up to do to anyone. But she was stealing from white people, so I thought the blacks would be on her side. But apparently after the 9-to-5 kerfuffle,
they had
the blacks didn't even have her back. I thought they was gonna be like, you know, hey, Joanne the scammer,
right? Because, you know, we love a good scammer.
Yeah, but nah. Mm-hmm.
She had already made them mad before that came out.
Yeah. And I guess before that she pissed people off because she made some comments following George Floyd's killing, and she said, "I'm gonna ask myself, what would Jesus do? Not what would an angry black woman do? I'm angry, but I'm also trying to be godly." When she was, I guess, talking about the reaction to George Floyd. After that, there was some minor flack over a different incident where she said she wouldn't date a man who works a 9-to-5 job. If the plagiarism claims are true, this latest uproar might cost her. Well, she did speak out, okay? She has addressed the claims.
On Instagram.
She says, "I dropped the ball." Okay. She dropped the ball, and so now we, you know, I think we have to move on, guys. Yeah, this is her on her Instagram.
"Hey, you guys, it's B. Simone. Y'all know me. I have been vulnerable, real, transparent, honest throughout my whole career, and this moment isn't any different. I want to make a quick short video and address all of the accusations surrounding my book, but because it is now a legal matter, I can only say so much, but I wouldn't be me and I wouldn't feel right if I didn't say anything at all."
Cause them white people sue. Okay. When white people sue, they was like,
you had the nerve not to change the font. Me, Becky, and Susan and Karen are suing.
So that's what I'm doing. I had a vision to create a book for young women to change their mindset and to manifest, because that is how I feel like I became successful in life. That is my truth. That's what I know about. So that's what I wanted to teach young women, manifestation. I wanted to tell them my story, right? I've never written a book. I've never been an author. So as an influencer, as a creative, as an entrepreneur, me and my team outsourced. We hired a team that we trusted, that we thought could bring my vision to life. And they did a lot of things without my knowledge. A lot of things without my knowledge. And I am here to fix it.
So this is what's interesting, right? Because I think this happens a lot. And I'm not even saying she's lying or anything. I know that's what most people are going to say. Mm-hmm. But it kind of reminds me of the Lena Waithe thing, where you portray yourself as like a boss and you got to grind and you got to be on top of everything. And then you kind of find out like none of these motherfuckers are doing any of this shit by themselves or on their own.
Nobody is.
You know, it's the J.L. Covan thing where he talks about like, I really don't have representation. I really did. Everything I earned is me. I made these albums. I recorded these specials. I fucking put the shit out. And you know, and then you have other people going rise and grind. I do everything on my own. And then you look at the documentary, you're like, Kevin Hart, you have a whole fucking football team in your house. This is not just you, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it not being just you, but right. It's just when something like this fucked up comes out is when the mask comes down. It's like, guys, I have to tell you, it was none of this is me. I didn't write. I don't even know. I've never read a book. Okay. This book ain't, what is a book? I don't have a library card. These motherfuckers got me too. Okay.
We all are shocked and surprised.
Right. We are in this together.
I'm here to fix it. I've reached out to every creative involved, every female involved to fix this issue. And even though I feel like the people I hired in my team dropped the ball, I'm taking full accountability because at the end of the day, I'm the leader. I'm the CEO. I'm the coach.
Are you taking full accountability?
Because I'm looking at it. It looks like everybody getting hit by a bus. I see them getting mowed down one by one. You passing all the interstate intersections.
This is a Cam Newton after the Super Bowl press conference. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even though these niggas can't block, I put the game on me. Okay. Just because these niggas can't catch passes. Mm-hmm.
I see all your team getting them bullets.
Even with the defense giving up 40 points, I say it's all me. It's my fault. The coach don't know when to call a timeout. That's on me. Just, if you want someone to blame, don't look at these sorry motherfuckers on my team. Look at me, okay?
So, you know, it's my brand. I take full accountability, even though I did not know. I'm here to fix it. I'm here to speak about it. I'm not going to run from this. I'm going to face it head on. You know, I'm learning. I'm growing every single day. Every single day. My business mind, it's growing every day. The way I do business is growing every day. I take this as a learning experience. You know, the books have been taken down. We're stopping all sales until this matter is black and white.
Yeah, because at this point, you're selling... I mean, if you're going to get sued, you might be giving up a percentage on all this shit anyway. Mm-hmm. Every book sold, another hit to the pocket at this point. What's crazy to me is like, it's another example of like a black creative getting some white attention and then all the shit comes out. You know, it's like, that's a pattern that's going to keep happening, I guess. Man, it's been happening forever.
Yep, you get some white eyes. All of a sudden, everybody view you differently. I don't ask me why. Don't ask me what's up. All of a sudden, you got to be fine tooth comb, washed over, scrubbed.
Yeah, maybe the white women was waiting for her to get a check. $1 million? Here's the screenshots.
I guarantee you they had their eye on her for a while and was like, if she makes any money off of this, we're suing.
Right. She was stealing shit when she was broke. I was cool with it. But
come on.
In four, she got $1 million? I won't have.
And I bet you they looking like, we ain't got no millions, no ma'am.
Half Eddie.
Clear as day. I don't want any gray area. And I thank y'all for rocking with me. I thank y'all for supporting me. Once again, I take full accountability, even though I did not know. Because why? I am the face of the brand. I am the brand. I am the coach. Even if the player fucks up, I'm the coach. So I wanted to speak on this, let you know I'm in the business of fixing it. And I love you guys, everybody that's been so supportive and loving throughout this whole process. You don't know how much I need that. I done cried about it. I done vented about it. Now it's time to fix it. So I thank you.
Man, it's crazy too how much a beauty blogger has to be on point every time they get on camera. I never really thought about it, but
oh yeah, because
she probably could, like, she probably had to make sure she look her best even for some shit like this.
Yes, because things like this, image is everything.
Yeah, well, yeah, she did apologize. So I think I speak for all the rest of the blacks. As a black man, my words trickle down to everyone. We forgive you. So don't worry about it, B. Simone. We over it. You know, people working 9 to 5s is cool. People that's not working 9 to 5s is cool. People that was mad about the George Floyd comments, they letting it go. You know, just go back to doing your thing, girl. You know, just say the first thing to come to your mind, whatever hot topics you want to speak on. Just go back to doing that. You know, we got your back, sis. Let us know what the GoFundMe is when the court tells us how much money it is.
Yeah, we'll give, yes.
Put the link out. We'll make sure we pay for all the fees and stuff like that. I feel like, you know, I speak for the blacks on this one. So, Beyonce pens an open letter to Kentucky's attorney general calling for Breonna Taylor's killers to be charged. Of course she did. Trying to keep up with Tay Tay. I don't blame you, girl. Okay. It is an arms race.
Tay Tay out here touching down. She doing all the touchdown dances.
Yeah, Tay Tay was starting to get a little hit.
She on the end zone going, shake it off.
Right.
Shake it off.
And Beyonce came back with the activism Vince Carter slam on that that dude in the Olympics. She was like, fuck that shit. Fuck a statue. Take Breonna Taylor. Get Breonna Taylor's killers charged. Okay. I don't know if it'll happen. People told me that the AG for Kentucky is apparently one of those all skin folk ain't kin folk type dudes, so I don't know.
Right. You know, it's Kentucky, so you don't know, baby.
I just appreciate her trying.
Come on.
I think
it's all we can ask.
It's also funny too, because people always be, because it's Beyonce, the motherfuckers that's been talking about celebrities ain't shit, open your purse, or you know, so you saying something don't matter, you sitting in your house rich, or what? They for her, they gonna be like, thank you, Beyonce, you different, okay, we love you, okay, thank you for even coming down from the mountain to tell us,
because you didn't have to do it
with the tablets to tell us what to do,
but I'm glad you did.
Let's see, rest of this news is all race news. Let me see. Well, Denver police served a temporary restraining order amid nationwide protest repression. So they were basically told to stop going to fucking protests and beating people up and shit.
Yeah, because you know what, when the police ain't there, a lot of times violence doesn't break out.
And you know what else happens, Karen? The fucking cameras don't come.
Right.
And the news don't talk about it.
Nope.
People still in the streets.
Yes, they are.
You don't see as much coverage though.
Mm-mm.
You know, they love
the coronavirus about to box its way back in its number one spot.
Let a white woman come in our neighborhood, flash the okay sign, the racist sign, and burn a Wendy's. That shit is everywhere. Oh, we don't need to burn Wendy's. This has nothing, the humanity. But whenever it's just black people peacefully protesting, nobody wants to give a fuck. Mm-mm. They shut down the highway in Atlanta peacefully.
Ooh, that big ass highway.
Yeah, now the thing is, the people in the back didn't know it was a protest. They just thought it was Atlanta traffic. But
we're gonna come on, because it don't go nowhere.
They're like, oh no, it must be a Saturday night. But in general though, like, you see that kind of shit on Twitter. You don't really see that shit on, like, MSNBC doesn't give you a live stream, and this is Atlanta. You know, they don't go out and start interviewing protesters and shit.
Anywhere, 10 minutes to take you 45 to get there.
All right, so it was just kind of interesting that the protest is still coming, and you don't see a lot of you don't really see a lot of talk about it.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's see. Bernie Sanders dismisses progressive call to defund the police, says departments need more resources. So if your whole thing was Joe Biden ain't shit, Bernie Sanders is the answer. They both got the same answer when it comes to this police reform shit.
Yes sir.
So I'm still I'm not even trying to mock them or say that they don't know what they're talking about. This is a relatively new thing for mainstream politics.
Right.
So this is the job of voters and constituencies to push these motherfuckers into the things you want.
Mm-hmm.
And to educate these motherfuckers. They're gonna end up, their people are gonna come to them and say, this is what this means. And if there's enough will for it, you'll start to see them soften and be like, you know what? I am with this. You know, this is the part of the thing that I think I just fundamentally differ with a lot of people when it comes to politicians, is I see them as tools to be pushed into the thing. Right. I don't actually give a fuck what any of their genuine feelings are.
Mm-mm.
I don't know any of them. I don't necessarily believe any of them. There's been politicians where I genuinely thought they wanted something, and I knew that they were scared to do it because the public wasn't pushing them enough.
Right.
You know, I genuinely thought from day one Barack Obama was a marriage equality Democrat. But he was scared to lose an election, so he ain't say that shit until 2012 when he was like, all right, cool.
Joe said that. That was right. Just a test of
war. He floated it through Joe. I think that happens all the time. All the time I think shit like that happens. The point is, it's not a relationship based on how they genuinely feel about anything.
Mm-mm.
That's why all these fucking debates, you see them come up there and they present these fucking, it's all focus tested. It's all like approved through the people that they fucking have to be supported by. It's approved through the people that support them, all that shit. So you know, I don't genuinely, like I've been saying it for a long time, I don't fucking hate Bernie Sanders. I don't have anything against Bernie Sanders.
Nope.
I just think the framing of him as the wokest white man who fucking is with all the progressive shit was always bullshit, and it was just a house of cards waiting to fall because he's not that guy, you know. And so of course he didn't go abolish the police. He's like, nah, nigga, why the fuck would we do that? Bernie Sanders' relationship with police it's not ours.
No, it's not.
You know, he's in what, Vermont or Maine or some shit? Like, he ain't.
That's a small state compared to the rest of the country.
And he white. Like, come on now. He marched with Martin Luther King 2 times or some shit. Like, he didn't get beat with the dogs. Now, if he would have been in the picture with the dogs and the fire hoses, he might feel differently. I don't know.
He might feel very differently.
But he was just in like a regular pic when they was going to like a picnic or some shit. That's not gonna get the results that we need, okay?
Mm-mm.
So, and I'm not mad at that dude. It's just I wanted to point out, like, none of these motherfuckers are on board with it right away, you know. And just because it's popular on Twitter doesn't necessarily mean it's popular in real life. And most importantly, I hate to keep going back to this, it has to be popular with people who vote, for politicians to care.
Right. And all jokes aside, Twitter is a very small population. We think we everything, and we think we are the people that hold the numbers within why we get Joe Biden. Yeah. Not trying to be funny, because according to y'all, no.
Right.
Well, how do we end up getting him? Because niggas that voted for Joe Biden.
Yeah. This country is not a progressive country. It's not a liberal country. And that's not some figurative shit that I mean, like, by actual, just kind of pie in the sky. I mean actual individual people as a whole. Like, as you go to each person, it's not all this left shit that people keep telling you, which you hand self-selected online, right?
You
pick those people, right? But when you can't pick the people, there's as many motherfuckers out here walking around talking about, I'm not even wearing a mask for COVID-19. And as many of us going, you're not even supposed to be out the house. Like, that both of those Americas exist at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these motherfuckers had the same ability to go vote. So you have to push the politicians into the shit you want. They're not going to just snap to any, like, ooh, never heard this idea until Tuesday, but I'm on it. Like, most of them aren't going to do that, except Elizabeth Warren. Other than that, they're not going to do it.
Mm-mm.
Like, and maybe that's why Elizabeth lost. She was my fave, but... You know, she hear a good idea, she be like, you know what? That's a good idea. That's all I liked about her. But alas. All right, let's get into some other things, guys. Let's see. I feel like, yeah, let's do some fucking with black people. Okay. I feel like we're gonna be able to make it funny. All right, I'll try to pick the fun ones. Would
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe and makes us feel fucked with. And we assign point scores of 0 to 100, intervals 25, for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestant is everybody. All right. Hope you guys have been doing yoga, okay? So you won't be too upset about all this shit I'm about to read. The D.C. mayor is being sued over the Black Lives Matter street painting and renaming of a street to Black Lives Matter, right in front of the White House. I loved it. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know this woman. No, I don't know all her politics. I get it. I'm sure if you live there, you hate her. She is a black woman that is an elected official, and she's doing things. So that means you hate her, okay? Doesn't matter your race. I know how this game works. Black women that hold elected office, niggas hate them. Now, no, it's not. It's never misogyny. Oh, ooh, it's never that. It's never a double standard. It's just we just somehow always end up hating them. I don't know how. You know, Keisha Lance Bottoms, they gonna, let me guess, they hate her too. You know, Vi Lyles here, we hate her now. It's just, it is what it is. Black women hold elected office, they gonna get hated. So
yeah, but
save the fucking emails. Don't write me shit.
Yeah, and sometimes they're valid though, because she wants the RNC here, but that's the difference.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Black woman.
Yes, fuck the RNC, and I'm glad they're
coming.
Gone.
They're not coming. So you taking the hate back?
No, because she wanted them here.
Sticks to the black woman. There been Pat McCrory, we've been moved on by now. DC mayor DC mayor sued
over, I know he did well, yeah, nobody cared, okay. Mm-hmm.
But Pat McCrory was a full fucking Republican, and then right, went on to be a governor and ruined the goddamn state.
Yes he did.
But somehow he was able to be a Republican mayor of Charlotte for a long ass time without the black community hating him. Ain't that funny. Meanwhile, Vi Lyles made one mistake and it's over for her. I'm not giving up on you, Vi. I got your back. I support black women. Washington DC mayor Muriel Bowser, hey look, defund the police, but I seen the profile pic of her when she was looking at them Black Lives Matter thing. She thick too. Get my vote, okay? I mean, defund the police, obviously, but you know, cakes as well. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, she took a stance when she said she had Black Lives Matter painted in giant yellow letters down 16th, aka the street leading to the White House. Now, a week later, she is being sued by a group of activists who claim she violated the First Amendment's establishment clause. The lawsuit, which was filed on Wednesday, claims that Mayor Bowser shows favoritism to the Black Lives Matter cult orthodoxy.
What?
The suit also complains of her incendiary language, referencing her decision to change the street to Black Lives Matter Plaza. What's inflammatory about Black Lives Mattering? When did matter become an inflammatory thing?
We told you they hear the magic words only. Like, only is applied on their side.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, Black Lives Matter banner conveys that black people are the favorite race of the city of D.C., Chocolate City, which is, of course, a racist contention floated by a racist Democrat who persistently refuses to think logically, the lawsuit says.
Y'all done came in and fucking gentrified everything to death and rose all the prices where most of the black people there can't stay there no more. What? Right. Word.
Street preacher Rich Pinkowski is the named plaintiff in the case, according to Washington Times. His main argument is that the mayor is supporting one orthodoxy over others.
It's not a religion. Because the way they keep talking, like, it's a religion. It is not a religion.
It's not a religion. But you know what is a religion? White supremacy.
I would say yes to that.
Right. And so they equate, it's that Terry Crews, they equate Black Lives Matter with black supremacy. They can't even imagine a world in which your life is so attacked that you say, you just want to say we matter. They can't imagine that world. So they see it as you're saying your life is the only one that matters because their privilege is that strong.
Right. It's ridiculous. It's not a religion.
Right. The activists are calling for the mayor to take a more secular standing as they view Black Lives Matter movement to be a religious one. Pinkowski, along with two others, believe that for Mayor Bowser to prove she is not showing favoritism, she needs to alternate other banners down the street. For example, Blue Lives Matter to honor law enforcement and Green Lives Matter to honor guard units. And of course, the fave, Karen.
All lives matter.
All lives matter.
No, fuck y'all, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yep, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100, fuck them. It's not a religion. It's not a religion. It's not a religion.
Yeah, I give it 100 as well. That's crazy. White people crazy as shit, man. That's...
You know how Green fucking, Lives Matter. What do you mean, Martians? The hell is this? Get out of here.
Right. You know how fucking... Well, Blue Lives is what they said. Blue Lives and... Oh, they did say Green Lives.
They did say green.
Damn, I forgot. That fast.
Yeah, you know how they like to do... I don't care if you're green, blue, purple, or orange. Get out of here.
Right. Yeah, somebody was like, she thick? Hold up, let me Google. I got you, player. Okay, I'll stay with it on deck, okay? You ain't never seen this angle, okay? I see why y'all voted for her. All right,
it's pretty.
I agree with all her policies and stuff. I mean, defund the police. Okay, I'm with defund the police, but I'm just saying, does that mean we had to get rid of this sister so fast?
Yeah, y'all, it's some bullshit. Because all these other hashtag lies didn't come up until people said Black Lives.
I should have known because of the haircut.
Come on.
Okay, thick lies matter to me, and that's on me. All right,
thick lies do matter.
Thick thighs matter. All right, I'm not gonna sell that shirt. I don't want no problems with Black Lives, but thick thighs do matter. Anyway, white couple calls the cops on a man for stenciling Black Lives Matter on his own property.
Mm-mm. So I'm on my property, my shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
My shit.
Yeah, your shit. But you out here, you know, trying to make these lives matter.
Hi, I'm asking you if this is your property.
Why are you asking?
Because it's private property.
Because it's private property,
so,
sir.
So, are you defacing private property, or is this your building? You're free to express your opinion.
No,
not on people's property.
Okay.
Why does she look like Carrot Top? You ever see the face of somebody that just, they work out too much?
Mm-hmm.
Or they get too much, like, plastic surgery and it just fucks up everything?
That face looks so tight.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Just respectfully.
Sure.
So, we're just saying... Absolutely, your signs and everything, and that's good. This is not the way to do it.
Okay.
It's private property.
But if
keep in mind, her husband is filming this. I think it's her husband. He's filming this interaction because that's white supremacy. He think they right.
Well, of course he does.
That's why you film this, right? It's like, well, I'm on the libs today. Can't wait to go on Facebook and show him this video.
If I did live here and it was my property, this would be absolutely fine.
If
I live here or if this is my property.
We actually do know. That's why we're asking.
Oh, really? Because you live here, right? You
no,
said
because
so.
Because we know the person who does live here.
Oh, okay. So then I suggest you call him or call the police. Or because you're accusing me of a crime, correct?
What I'm asking you is why are you...
And I'm not answering you.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
So your choices are to call the cops if you believe I'm calling a crime, and I will more than be happy to talk to them.
Okay, thank you.
What's your name again?
I'm Lisa.
Lisa, what's your last name?
What is your name?
Ma'am, you're supposed to say Karen. Okay, that's the new wave.
What's your name? I asked first, Lisa. What's your name, sir?
Robert.
What's your last name, sir?
What is your first name, sir?
I'm not answering. I'm not talking to you. You're talking to me. I'm asking you the questions.
Well, we're not doing anything illegal.
Neither am I.
Actually, you are actually.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, then call the cops.
Thank you. We will do
so. Lisa and Robert.
Yeah.
I'll be right here.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. And that, people, is why Black Lives Matter.
Thank you for understanding, sir. Is what
that's Karen, and she's calling the cops. And this is going to be really funny. Because she knows the people who live here personally.
Yeah, so turns out it was his house.
Oh no, so she didn't know who lived there.
No. He lives there. He's the manager. That's how he was so confident that they didn't know. He was like, call, go ahead, call if, you know.
He said, I'll be right here waiting on him.
Mm-hmm. So her skincare line, what? What? It's no way to not be shady. There's no way that woman has a skincare line. Unless she's like 90. Who the fuck is,
somebody behind it. Apparently.
B. Simone had to look flawless to apologize for stealing from the white people. I was looking at this woman the whole time, forgiving her because she was fine. I said, this is a woman so fine. You know what? I forgive you. Steal all the shit. You know what I mean? She looked that good. Okay? I've never heard of this woman before. I seen her on that Instagram video. I said, damn, B. Simone. I see why you're getting the money. Okay? You come out looking like that, it's a lot of people going to be like, let me get some of what you got.
Come on.
This woman got a beauty salon. This woman got a beauty. She got a skincare line. Ma'am.
I bet you it's expensive as shit.
Your skin looks like the Crypt Keeper.
It's so tight.
How could you possibly? Who's buying this?
Somebody.
Who are the? Come on, man.
How much the shit is? Oh, I bet that shit is expensive.
What the fuck? Birchbox is the name of it. I gotta look it up.
I've never heard of it before.
I gotta look. Maybe she looks different on the website. That could be,
Birchbox? You mean like Bird Box?
Birch. B-I-R-C-H box. I'm looking online. I mean, it's just beauty products. So I don't see no pictures of her. I don't know. Oh, maybe if I put a foot, Lisa Birch box, maybe that'll bring it up. No,
this, somebody said it's under the name LaFace,
like baby face, like LaFace Records.
I'm not sure. They say it's a beauty box subscription service.
Wow, she was getting all that. I know they don't know what she looked like. I know they bought that shit. They was like, who is this? This is what she looked like right here.
Yeah, B-I-R.
CH box, yeah. Mm-hmm. I looked it up. This is what she looked like in the video.
Right.
Like the Wicked Witch of the West or some shit.
She would play that role flawlessly.
And then she has her own
skincare line. It's LaFace. That's her skincare line.
LaFace, Birchbox. All right, LaFace, skincare, Birchbox. Let's see what comes up. This says LaFace. Oh no, this is
are you on the images? Toyin.
Yeah, I'm on images, not news. I was, because I wanted to see what the fuck it looked like. Oh, here's a picture of her all made up. I mean, that is better. That's better.
A lot better.
Maybe she just went without makeup for her walk. I mean, yeah, okay, I see it now. You know, honestly, this is the best ad she has for her skincare. This is what the fuck I look like when I don't got nothing on. Okay? So then here's a picture of me with the makeup on. Blah, out, right? You just go ahead and pay $1 billion. Because if I can look like this, you can look way better. Anyway, she ends up getting her line pulled. But in addition to that,
so company started putting her line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Her boyfriend got fired. By an investment bank for accusing Filipino resident of vandalism because he was painting Black Lives Matter slogan. See, he was over there with that phone trying to be slick, but the truth of the matter is, homeboy, you was involved in it.
Oh, he lost his job too.
Mm-hmm. So he caught the stray bullet. Mm-hmm. He thought he was safe.
Because I bet you it was her idea to go over there in the first place.
Thought he was safe too. He's like, I'm not the one insulting the man. I'm just over here
supporting my wife,
supporting my girlfriend. Okay, I'm just over here, you know, just filming everything. But he got a little snippy a couple times. It was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you is the one, don't live here. We know the people. Trying to have her back. And now look at you.
We know the people. He was like, oh, word?
Mm-hmm. And now look at you. Unemployed.
He's like, this is my house.
You are wrong. All of you are wrong.
Dead wrong. Get the hell on out of here. Yeah, she's 54 and he's 57. So, you know.
She looks much older than that.
And that she did look much older than that.
I mean, without makeup,
the confrontation.
Yeah,
but I feel like that is a positive for her makeup brand.
Yes,
you know, here's a picture of her, I guess, out with the dude with some makeup on. I mean, she looked 54. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah, that's just without makeup, she looked completely different.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, God, she looks what so different. Maybe it's a hair too. Just
it might be a hair too.
Anyway, shout out to my Hispanic man holding it down intersectionally for Black Lives Matter. I see you, player. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't let them sleep on you. Mm-hmm. Okay,
they harassing him because they were looking like, yeah, I know you can't afford nothing over here.
Mm-hmm. I know what it was, and even though this is fucking with Black people, I got to give you your props. Okay, dog, I got to. You know we need some churros.
Come on, homemade salsa.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know we down with some tacos and some guac, some handmade guac. Come on,
we
down.
Like it spicy.
Okay, we will make a food exchange with you.
We sure will.
You like fried chicken? Good, we do too. Okay. We like fajitas.
Shredded pork. We right along with you. Barbacoa, whatever you want to call it. Because you know, Black people don't know the difference. They mix everything together.
Can we do some fusion? Can we make like a fat back taco?
Yes.
Because I'm with it.
Love that I thought I couldn't find. You know Black people and they terrible Spanish. I want an hamburguesa.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, I'm not Spanish. I'm not Spanish. I want some papas fritas. Ma'am, no.
Come on through. Listen, I'm with it, okay? Yeah, so they fired this nigga after an investigation into the circumstances of a video alleging racism by one of our associates. We have concluded that the actions of he and his partner were inconsistent with our values, and the associate is no longer employed with Raymond James.
They don't want no heat. I'm trying to tell you, if you gonna fuck up, wait a smooth 6 months when everybody done calm down. Right now the streets is hot.
Now she did apologize.
Cause her money fucked up.
She said, I want to apologize directly to Mr. Juanillo. There are not enough words to describe how truly sorry I am for being disrespectful to him last Tuesday when I made the decision to question him about what he was doing in front of his home. I should have minded my own business.
Correct. And y'all could have went to brunch. Y'all, you could have kept setting your line. Your husband would have had his job. Husband or boyfriend would have had his job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you said you knew. Apparently, you did not know who stayed there.
You did not know.
Right.
But now you know. I bet your ass know now.
Mm-hmm. You going to remember all day, every day.
Right. Mm-hmm. I should have minded my business. Put it on a t-shirt, okay?
Come on. I should have minded
words.
My business.
Wise words. I might put it on a t-shirt for you. I should have minded my business.
And yes. Truthfully, that's all we ask. Like, just leave us some. That's for most people, you just leave them alone, boo-boo.
San Francisco Karen, I should have minded my business. You goddamn right.
Mm-hmm.
It was that simple.
And y'all could have went on to do whatever it is y'all had planned on doing for the day. Fucked your day up. Fucked your money up.
Nobody was bothering you.
Mm-mm.
Nobody wanted to be bothered. But you had to go and star some shit.
Cause the thing is, you knew you were right. That's what's fucked
mm-hmm.
up. You marched over there like you knew you was right.
Lied to that man's face. He know he lived there.
Right. He know he lived there.
All right. Let's go to the next one, guys. Little Britain, Matt Lucas and David Williams, very sorry for blackface. Well, that's good. I'm glad they're sorry. Matt Lucas and David Williams have apologized for playing characters of different ethnic backgrounds in their sketch show, Little Britain. The series used blackface makeup in some sketches. Earlier this week, it was removed from the BBC, iPlayer, Netflix, and BritBox after objections resurfaced. Wait, objections resurfaced? So y'all had some objections that surfaced before, and y'all still put this back out?
They was like, ooh, it came back. Ooh.
Who
would have known?
Am I hearing this correctly?
Yeah, I still don't. I'm like, okay.
Y'all already had some objections. It was like, but this time, in this world, this is the time, in these uncertain times, the world is ready for blackface. The pair said they regret that we played characters of other races. Once again, we want to make clear that it was wrong, and we are very sorry, they said in statements. Oh, that's terrible. That sound like Justin. Lucas and Williams said they have both spoken publicly in recent years about the regret they felt about such scenes. In 2017, Lucas said, If I could go back and do Little Britain again, I wouldn't make those jokes about transvestites. I wouldn't play black characters. Basically, I wouldn't make that show now. It would upset people. We made a more cruel kind of comedy than I do now. Williams also said he would definitely do it differently in today's cultural landscape. I mean, you know what? That's valid. That's a valid point. You know, I think
there's a lot of our favorite shit now. Yeah,
people way too hard on comedy. Yeah, because way too hard.
People love quote unquote In Living Color, but In Living Color would not pass the test today.
Yeah, like it is what it is. Like, people are way too hard on comedy. I can get with that. I mean, you know, that was 2017 when he said that. So it sounds like someone re-released the shit without them knowing. So it must have went on these streaming services.
Okay.
And like people are seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, like somebody paid for it. Like, it's been sitting around. Somebody said, hey, I'll pay for that. And they paid and put it up. And people's like, the hell is this?
Right. Earlier this year, Lucas said the pair would love to bring it back in some way at some point. And this is the other thing, because everyone thinks they're so fucking woke now. The shit you laugh at now, 10 years from now, might not be supposed to be funny no more.
Come on.
So I don't know why, like, we get such a stick up our ass on how it's about, that was never funny. It's like, well, nigga, I hate to tell you, it was very, very funny. It was the number one thing in the world. Everyone thought it was acceptable. And then at some point, everyone went, this is some bullshit. We shouldn't be fucking with this no more. And now we now understand as a society, this is worse.
Yes.
Sure, there were some people that were so woke at the time that it was like, it's not funny. But let me tell you something. No one wants to be around those people.
Mm-mm. And those people, most of them don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah, no one wants to. Those people coincidentally also think nothing's ever funny. So don't.
Nothing.
Yeah, so you can't go by that. So I'm glad that they apologized before now, by the way. Not because someone saw it in 2020, but they apologized when asked about it in 2017. And keep apologizing. See how easy that is, Kevin Hart? They just, hey, my bad. Last Friday, in the wake of anti-racism protests, Netflix took the show off its platform. That's who should be in trouble. The people that had put the shit back out, and now they trying to take shit down because it's getting caught. HBO Max did this shit with Gone with the Wind. Oh, in these uncertain times, it just suddenly became racist. The shit being racist.
Yeah, Gone with the Wind been around forever.
Yeah. Oh, guys, we didn't know Gone with the Wind was racist until y'all niggas start marching. These niggas gonna burn down HBO headquarters. We got to take it down, nigga. Take it down.
We'll put it back out later on, but right now, no.
Yeah, don't press.
They're re-releasing and people will forget about it.
Stop. Don't press play on that. Mm-mm. They was playing it.
Stop it right now. This is stupid. This is absolutely ridiculous.
If y'all are over there with this,
get out of here. We are adults and this is ridiculous. Cut the crap.
That's exactly what happened.
Stop it right now. All right.
We are adults.
0 to 100, Karen. For the blackface people.
The I'm sorry, black people, 0. I don't care.
Wow, you really let the race down right now, sis.
I did. I don't care.
Holy shit. Wow.
They apologized.
I did not watch white people burn down a Wendy's for this type of service on our podcast. I'm giving it a 50, okay? I really don't feel fucked with either. But I think it's also because I was never a fan of these dudes. I don't know shit about these people.
That's what I said, I don't care enough.
It's from across the pond, so, you know, it's probably... The blacks over there probably get 100, you know.
Yes, they would. They probably good and mad.
But it wasn't for me. All right, one more. California sandwich shop closes after franchise owner compares Black Lives Matter to the KKK.
They love that bullshit.
Don't they?
It is not the same.
Matter. Matter.
They hear only. I clear.
Like, honestly, imagine being insulted by someone telling you my life matters. Don't we agree? Hey, I agree with you, buddy. Your life does matter. Hey, Black Lives Matter. Excuse me, buddy. All lives matter. So, yeah, so you're saying Black Lives Matter as well. No, I'm saying all lives matter. Okay, not that shit you're saying. Right, but Black lives will be included within those lives. Now, buddy, listen. I don't know how many more times I can say this. All of the lives matter. Okay? They all matter equally to me and to Jesus. Okay, so just please stop saying that offensive term. Oh,
they act like you called them niggas.
They really do. It's like we say, Black Lives Better. That's a like that should be the new slogan,
right?
I bet if the Black Lives Matter people knew that it was going to be so controversial, they probably would have changed it to just go ahead and stir the pot. Black over everything, fuck y'all. Like, damn, another Black over everything, fuck y'all march today as George Floyd is murdered in the streets. Like, that would be definitely make CNN a little bit different.
Yeah, get it while you can. Push as far as you can push.
Another We Black Fuck Y'all march is
come on
scheduled this weekend. We Black cry about it.
Looked like was breaking off from the march. It's a Shea Butter March. We got right. A Shea Butter March over there.
The march is called, it's by the organization, Since Y'all Gonna Act Like Some Bitches Anyway.
Come on!
Black Lives Better. They are marching this weekend. It's a long name, and the domain was not taken, though, yes. So.
Yes. Got a new one. Fight Your Mama About It broke out. A whole new line broke out from the march, and it says Fight Your Mama.
Mm-hmm. Shut the Fuck Up Black People Talking March is scheduled for Monday.
Come
on Labor Day, so they will be downtown if you're looking. Shut the Fuck Up Black People Talking will be out there in full effect. A California sandwich.
Oh, we have another one that broke out. Kiss My Black Ass. Oh, we have a whole another line that says Kiss My Black Ass.
KissMyBlackAss.org. Just make sure to donate to the charity. Okay, they are out in the streets trying to help get some justice for everybody.
Justice for everybody.
Okay, they should have just went ahead.
One ass cheek at a time.
Should have just went all the way with it. Cause damn, who knew matter was gonna be so goddamn inflammatory
divisive.
To these whites. Jesus. A California sandwich franchise has been shut down after the owner sent a racially incendiary email to staff condemning Black Lives Matter and likening the movement to the Ku Klux Klan. California. Let me check my map here. Oh, yep.
There's whites out there, ain't there?
Still not the South. Still not the South. Interesting.
But there's whites out there.
I was told couldn't be me. I was told
that shit only happened down in North Carolina and South Cackalacka.
I don't know how you Negroes deal with it, is what I was told.
I heard it only happened in Texas. That's what somebody told me. You were in Florida.
I guess you weren't planning on the old reliable news to cover the racism everywhere. The Mr. Pickles sandwich shop in Davis, California was closed down by corporate after the email made its way to social media that details how Mickey Mann, the former franchisee, feels about the movement.
Oh, so they took his franchise.
Mm-hmm. Nigga got disenfranchised.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He literally figuratively. That's what happened. Know what was going on. He was shocked by the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. He should have minded his business.
Yes. know what he should do? He should have just shut up and make it a sandwich.
Oh, man. Mm-mm-mm. That's funny no matter how you slice it.
See, he out here folding up like that bread. Thank you. You know how you fold bread?
No, you don't fold bread. That's not how you make a, that's not how you make a sandwich. I was gonna ask you to make me a sandwich at the show, but I'm good. I make my own. I don't want no folded bread.
You don't fold the bread in half when
you try to make a wrap. You try to make a wrap
with the sub. You fold the sub. Fold the wrap.
You're gonna try to make this work.
I am. I'm gonna fit that circle in that square. You ain't gonna stop me.
Well, now that he don't got a franchise, he won't be making no bread or no dough. The email was sent after an employee came to the sandwich shop wearing a Black Lives Matter pin. Boy, don't that tell them that'll tell on you every time. And the message man wrote that he does not support the activist group in red ink. I never have and never will. You do not have arguments that can change my mind.
You could have kept that to yourself, though.
He was that mean. Black lives don't matter. Change my mind.
Was he sitting in front of the sign?
Right. Man stated that his Mr. Pickle's restaurant for years had a policy of no politics, which included far right groups, MAGA hats, and Black Lives Matter. He said,
we know where you stand, dog.
Right. No politics up in here. Okay.
Then you could have said nothing.
He said that the staff attempted to force and are continuing to force your beliefs on me. The Black Lives Matter is the flip side of the KKK.
No, it's not. Where's the history of them going and around hanging white people and lynching white people? Where's the history of the systematic racism?
Their tactics are the mafia playbook. They are no better than some of the worst oppressive regimes in the world.
You mean the white ones? White ones that go all over the world and oppress them, like those? Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's their tactics. Man is now regretting that he sent the email. He said, I was very, very wrong putting that in writing. It cost me my store.
You put it in writing because you wanted people to know. You stood by it. Mm-mm.
I love the caveat of putting it in writing.
So I could have denied it if it wasn't in writing, basically. That's what he's telling me.
Very wrong to make that in a traceable way. Okay.
That's what you're telling me.
I was very wrong to leave evidence of my sizzle.
To leave evidence.
If I really should have wrote that somehow in like disappearing ink or like on a dry erase board, or I should have just said it in person with no recording devices around.
Right.
And then I could have been racist. Mr. Pickle Sandwich Shop posted an official statement on Thursday to announce the closing of Davis, California shop. The company also condemned man's word as alarming and painful.
Right, because they the one that got to deal with the backlash of you being stupid.
It sounds like they caught themselves in quite the pickle. They also stated that the location would reopen with new ownership.
Yeah, so basically they stripped him of his store.
You know what that means?
What?
They're going to be in sub under new management. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is, that's fucking with black people. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100 for him. Zero for the sub place, because they was like, give us back our store. And now you want to cry, probably because you lost the thousands of dollars, you know, because that's a big investment when you do these franchises. You have to pay all these fees, and if I was them, you wouldn't get a motherfucking, nope, we taking our store and our money, bitch, bye.
Yeah. Mr. Pickle, you could have just kept the sizzle to yourself.
that's,
I mean, come on, how hard is it to just be like, I clearly am about to get in trouble, why even say that?
Because whiteness is so good, it's an intoxicating, that narcotic is so good that it blinds you and makes you think you can do anything, because if you didn't think you could do anything, you wouldn't have done it in the first place.
You broke it down so it can't be broken. Let me just move to the last segment. A Brockway woman faces felony charges after allegedly assaulting her daughter's boyfriend with a samurai sword.
Oh.
Dubois-based state police filed charges against Patricia Ann Soltes, 55, of Brockway on April 8th, including aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, possession of a criminal controlled substance, possession of marijuana, 12 counts of use, possession of drug paraphernalia, simple assault, reckless endangerment against another person, and harassment, and a partridge in a pear tree. Mm-hmm. According to the affidavit of probable cause, the victim and his girlfriend were in her room when Soltes came in to argue with her daughter. Her daughter shut the door to keep Soltes out, and she reportedly returned with a board and broke the door from the frame. I mean, you are in her house. That you had to know that wasn't gonna work. Mm-mm. The victim told police Soltes then went to her room and returned with a samurai sword. Oh, Jesus. You knew your mama had a sword in the house and you was acting stupid in front of company for some little ass boy? Psh. Acting fast.
Not for no little boy.
Acting, you know, that's what my mama was saying when she was getting that sword. Acting fast, little girl, little badass. Like, oh, hell. You could be 37. Little badass, little girl, little fast. Like, damn, boy, they go back to that fast. Right? They go back to that so quick. Your fast ass. Mama, I am 47.
I don't care. I had to wipe your shitty ass.
Right. Acting all fast for your little boy. That is my husband. Okay? We came to visit you for Christmas.
She don't care.
She followed the victim to the kitchen, swinging a sword at him and threatening him. As he tried to calm her down, she allegedly stabbed him in the forearm with the sword. She then swung the sword and hit him in the neck. Now, how did he end up getting the ass whooping when it was the daughter that slammed the door on her?
Possibly trying to protect her.
Maybe. Or maybe he was the problem.
Stepping in, calming them down.
Maybe he was the problem the whole time. She didn't want him in the house or something.
Well, you never know.
You know this nigga got COVID? He ain't coughing on shit. Give me my sword. I'll take care of this.
I kill him in the COVID.
He eventually reportedly restrained Soltes on the couch and took the sword from her while his girlfriend recorded the interaction and called the police. Wow. She betrayed the mama. I mean, maybe her mama is crazy or abusive or something.
A possibility.
I don't know. He let Soltes up after she calmed down, and she reportedly took some of her belongings out of storage shed behind the home and then left. The victim and his girlfriend told the police that she had taken drugs and paraphernalia out of the house. Oh, so she may have a drug problem. Okay. While viewing the recording of the incident, officers reportedly noted the items Soltes took with her from the house. The wallet she had taken was found in the storage shed, as alleged was a pill grinder, a marijuana cigarette, several pills not prescribed to Soltes, and suspected methamphetamine.
Oh, so somebody had drugs prescribed to them and she was taking them and grinding them. Yeah.
That's what you do when you're on them opioids. Two syringes and a glass pipe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched this documentary called Claws. It's very detailed on how the opioid game works. Officers also found a sword under the porch steps and noted it appeared to have blood on it. Soltes was then transported to Penn Highland Dubois for her injuries but refused treatment. She was then transported to the Jefferson County Jail based on a detainer placed on her by the Clearfield County Probation Department. She's currently being held in Jefferson County Jail in lieu of $30,000 bail. She has a preliminary hearing scheduled April 28th. All right, that's it, guys. We will be back tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Okay.
Randolph, Andy, and Tim will be here from Three Guys Off.
Oh shit, have we ever had the whole crew on it?
Yeah,
once?
I don't know. It's been a while since
we've had the whole crew. It's been some years.
You're not gonna be able to be on camera tomorrow. It's gonna be all men.
That's fine. I do the remixing from the background.
More pickles and jars tomorrow. So
yes,
if you guys are fans of both our shows, it'll be a good time tomorrow. We'll get them all on. We'll probably end up starting about 6 because Randolph's computer won't be working. But we'll,
so y'all tune in early so y'all can hear us go through the whole setup.
Right. So we'll do that tomorrow at 5. I don't think we're gonna do a this too much this week, because Bossy is very upset over the finale of Insecure, and Aww. It does not sound like she's ready to review it yet, because she can't think of any way to review it without just, you know, shitting on the whole show. She's just that upset with the twists and turns in the finale. So you know, and I'm not upset, guys, just so you guys know. I thought it was good, but I also did yoga before. And I also,
we did do yoga, we stretched really good.
And I also told y'all, I want to say 2 weeks ago, maybe 3, that I thought the shoe was gonna drop, and there was no way they were giving us a happy ending in the end of the season. So I feel relieved. I was like, oh, there it is, there it is. I knew somehow this was gonna be fucked up. Yeah. And it happened.
See what happened when you not my stay. You good.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting, so yeah, probably not anything this week. I don't know when. We don't have another show to review because Atlanta's not coming back, and This Is Us, I doubt, is coming back anytime soon. I'm sure they can't film right now.
Because this might be a while for anything crew, so nobody knows what fall lineup is gonna be.
And much like Andrew, I'm just trying to go by Molly's whims, okay? So whenever Bossy feels up to it and wants to do it, I guess I'll go ahead and just do it whenever she feel like it. You notice how we just do whatever she want around here. So we'll be back whenever. But all right, y'all. And then there's definitely not a Wednesday show. We'll be doing Balls Deep and pregame a day early this week because Justin has some stuff he has to do Thursday night. So
okay,
there's gonna probably only be 4 regular episodes this week.
Yes sir.
And what else am I thinking? And then we'll probably do Nerd Off Friday.
Okay.
All right, y'all, that's all the show notes for now. And I feel like I'm forgetting. Oh, I know what I meant to say. I'm glad I stuck around. Yeah, so Adam and Eve, I got we're sponsored by Adam and Eve, guys. Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff to spice up the bedroom is even better. Select almost any one item for 50% off, and Adam and Eve will give you loads of free stuff. Enter offer code TBGWT at checkout and get 10 tantalizing free gifts. Mm-hmm. A sexy item for him, a special gift for her, a third item you'll both enjoy, and I say you mix things up. Plus, they give you 6 free spicy movies, plus free shipping.
Yeah, y'all know the COVID's still out there. Don't be going out here getting no corn peen.
Yeah, that's code TBGWT at adamandeve.com. And I think we have new copy to read for all that stuff too. So I'll be reading some of that tomorrow. But
yay!
Yeah, totally forgot about that.
You know
that.
What? And if you use the code one time, guess what? You can use it again.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you know what? Fuck that code. That's not right.
Oh, the code changed?
They changed it. Okay. So the code is still TBGWT, but now you just get 50% off and free shipping.
Okay.
So if you weren't getting all the freebies before this, that's on you. You should have did it when we told you to.
Yeah.
So now you don't get all the extra freebie stuff. You get 50% off. So I guess that's the new copy. I'm glad I checked that before you guys went and put it in and was like, this nigga lied. I'll read it at the beginning of tomorrow's show so it don't be messed up like
yes,
this.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.